B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Time hour. Let's get to some of your calls. I know you've been waiting.
Thanks for hanging.
617-779-0985. Cam is in Taunton. Go ahead, Cam.
You know, just like, if you're Clark Hunt or whatever the name of the Chiefs owner is, yep. Go to Andy Reid and say, Andy, I understand, but let's let some other team propose this. I'll go to Shad Khan and have Marone propose it for you. This is not, you guys know, I am not a they hate us because they ain't us guy. I'm far from it. I find it very annoying. But this is not a story if the Chiefs won the toss and scored the first drive. Okay. How many times are they going to do this?
Hey, Cam.
The Tuck rule, got to change. Yes.
Hey, remember when Bob Sutton was hired in Kansas City and he was this badass defensive coordinator and he was talking a little smack on Brady and you could hit Brady and you could get after him and he doesn't like to get hit and we're going to get him and all this and that? They can't stop Brady. Chiefs have never been able to stop Brady.
No, they can't. And every time this happens, between the illegal formation, the ineligible receivers, the jumping over the line, the illegal contact, the tuck rule, how many times are you going to do this? And the funny part is, this is what will happen. They'll go to a blanket 10-minute format, and the Patriots will still win, and then they'll say, oh, we need to go to another overtime. I guarantee you.
You're the number one seed. You were the number one seed. You had home field throughout. It was all set up for you, and you got your ass beat at home. That was an ass weapon. Even though the game got close at the end. Patriots kicked their ass in that game.
Yeah, you know, I know, as much as we say, it is like Bill Polian changing the rules. For me, this isn't a story about the Patriots. I don't think it's the world is out to get the Patriots thing. I think it's that these guys are just not as good, and they're you know, looking for excuses or looking for ways to...
They fired their defense coordinator. Now they're switching defenses.
Yeah. At least in their mind, and this one's not a clear-cut case of that. I mean, this could... Andy Reid, this could come back to hurt you. You've got the quarterback now. You've got the offense now. You've got the guy that when you do go to overtime, Andy.
You got skunked in the first.
There's an expectation that if you get the ball first, your guy is going to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I think he's pandering to the fans.
Of course he is.
I think he is.
Chiefs kingdom.
On some,
the kingdom.
You know what? Chiefs fans are upset about it. I'm going to be on board with that. And they're going to be on my side. It takes away from any poor coaching that might have happened. It was all the overtime's fault.
Right. Right. It's an excuse is what it is.
And the fans are already upset about it, so he can jump on that bandwagon and ride it into the offseason.
It's excuse making.
Yeah. Kingdom.
It's a distraction. It's excuse making that he's doing.
His tight end was bitching about it, too. His tight end wanted the ball there. Patrick Mahomes should have the opportunity to get the ball there. It's a bitchy tight end.
It's a good point. Tom made about the referees with New Orleans. Like, look at Mardi Gras. That's going on. There's all people dressed up as referees all over Mardi Gras. It's taken over. Sean Payton can jump on that and skate the entire offseason.
Right, Drew Brees can glom onto that.
Yep. Why'd you let your quarterback change a play?
Right. Instead of him checking out of a play at the line of scrimmage.
Why'd you mismanage the final 2 minutes?
Yeah.
No, we'll make fun of Goodell. It's his fault. Yeah.
And they did get hosed, by the way. But they also screwed themselves.
But they also
no one wants to talk about that.
All they'd do is go down, score a touchdown. They would have won in overtime. As much as they erred at the end of that game.
Listen, replay rules changed in the Super Bowl last year. Did Patriots fans spend all offseason bitching about that?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Nor did Bill. No. Corey Clement's touchdown was not a touchdown.
I didn't see Bill stand up in front of anybody wanting to change things in front of the competition committee.
No.
They just decided we're going to call it different in the Super Bowl. And you just deal with it.
Derek is in the car. Hey, Derek.
Hey, man. What's up?
What's up, Derek?
I just want to say hey to Hardy and Beetle, but what's up, Seth?
Hey, what's up?
I wanted to call about Trey Flowers. So I played sports all through high school, competitively in college.
Me too.
There's something about having a guy when, like, times are tough, when someone's driving on you, when you're losing hope and you don't think you can make a stop, there are guys that just do, or they don't ever lose hope. Or there's a pitcher throwing a no-hitter, there's a guy who's going to go up, he's like, I'm going to be the guy who breaks this up. Trey Flowers is one of those guys, and there's something that just makes you feel better about having someone like that. I know you guys know the numbers and everything else, but it's like, it's too much to get rid of.
Well,
it's too much to allow to walk away.
I mean, other
you have someone like that.
Other than just him on the field, you pick this guy. He never runs his mouth. Yeah. He is quiet. He just shows up and works his ass off. It's the type of player you want to keep around. This is what you want in your locker room. This is what you want all offseason. Think he goes home? You think he has his own training regimen? No.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't miss a day.
You've drafted and you've groomed the guy.
This is your you produce this.
He has worked extremely hard.
Now he's in his prime. You want to keep it.
Held in high regard by his teammates. He's the perfect guy to keep around.
Military family, brought up, he's strong.
Perfect guy
tough
to keep
kid.
Around.
Yeah.
Military, what does that have to do with anything?
Just because he got that background.
You sound like one of these guys in the combine. He's got military family background.
You left? What Hardy said.
Son of a coach.
What if I ever showed up late? It's important to me.
He's got good structure. Center of gravity.
Structure. Life structure. Family's important to him. Going to work's important to him. Busting his ass. I remember talking to him during an all-access.
You don't think money's going
to
affect him the way money could affect somebody else. Is that what you're saying?
No. I mean, because money always
like
affects the person. You want to get paid, right? Because if he does leave, that means he's leaving for money. Because if he loves it here so much and it's not going to affect him the money, then you take a little less to stay here like Tom Brady has, right? No.
I don't think that he should be forced to take less money. Nope. I don't believe in that.
This could be the one shot at a big contract for him.
Did Shaq Mason take less money?
No. Did Stephon Gilmore take less money to come to New England?
No.
Guys that usually stay, though, usually take less money. But I don't think Shaq Mason took less money.
Which I don't understand.
Think Dante Hightower
How
took
can
less
you pay
money.
Stephon Gilmore at the top of the market as a free agent and then not pay your own guy a couple of years later?
Well, that's how you affect your locker room then. That's like how you're going to go out and pay maybe a top receiver to come in and say, hey, there's Edelman who's got 3 rings and Super Bowl MVP and he's making $2 million. Like, that's stuff you have to worry about. That's inside, in-house stuff that... Okay, I know you like to say you have good structure in your locker room and that stuff all takes care of itself and we're different here. Players won't get paid. Whoa. That's on me. Turn that one down.
Oh, it was on you that time?
That was on me.
This time.
Which time wasn't it
this
on
time
you?
It's So's fault.
That was on the other Jim. Jim said it was on him. Okay.
Barbara's in Beverly. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Zoe. I didn't hear you say you had a golden retriever last time I called.
I did have a. I do have. I still have that guy. That dog.
How old is he?
He's 6. He's Bentley.
What color?
He is white. He's an all white English lab. I mean, English golden retriever.
So he must be big.
He's a big boy. He's
too
much.
Mine is 2. He's 92. He's 12 years old though.
Ooh. Okay, Bentley's not that old. He's still rambunctious.
Yeah, he is too. He still thinks he's 2.
He always takes my socks. Like he always takes my socks.
Oh, yeah, they're thieves. He waits around for my slippers.
They love holding stuff in their mouth and falling asleep just like securing it. Yeah, it's cute.
They don't hurt it, though. So
No.
But anyway, I wanted to get to the football thing.
Real quick, they call those soft mouth retrievers. Where they,
really?
Know, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they won't kill the animal. They'll bring an animal to you, but they won't kill it.
Oh, yeah. I know. He's done that.
Aren't they already dead when they retrieve the animal?
They'll bring the, like...
No.
No, he actually saved a rabbit in our pool. And
yeah, they do that.
And
they
he
do.
He puts it on the ground. Yeah. They'll retrieve it, but he won't kill it.
He saved the rabbit? The rabbit's life?
He's rolling out.
He
around.
He could get that rabbit
it.
Out and shake his head. Like, they'll shake the head to break the neck. You know, but...
My life used to be able to carry a raw egg in his mouth without breaking it.
You guys finish this segment, Zoe.
What else? What do you got? What do you got football-wise, Barbara?
I'll take it a break. It's fine.
What I have is I watched Andy Reid coaching, and he doesn't even look at the defense. It's like sad.
Oh, no.
Half the time he
stares
like
at his play sheet. Yep.
He's off in space somewhere. I don't understand. It's like I don't consider him a great coach, and for him to bitch about that, it's stupid.
Well, I mean, he's one of the better coaches in his league. He's a good offensive coach. He's always had trouble with clock management issues, poor defensive people he's always put around him. But,
and you can't win without a defense. It's been proven, finally. Yeah. Thank you again.
What's your dog's name?
Riffy, R-I-F-F-Y.
All right.
Riffy, He's a crazy golden. He's red.
Nice. All right, Barbara, you take care. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks, you guys.
Take care.
So long.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Bill Simmons has some thoughts on the Celtics' futures, though. So we'll hear what Bill Simmons has to say.
He's a big green teamer.
Yes, he is. After the action update.
Ooh.
Now, a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's action update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Point spreads suggest that at least 3 ranked teams will have it tough on the road tonight as they move closer to next week's conference tournaments. Number 6, Kentucky, is just a 5-point favorite visiting Ole Miss. this. Number 11, Purdue. As of date at Minnesota, the Boilermakers are laying 4.5. Now down to 13th in the rankings, Kansas is just a 1-point favorite visiting Oklahoma. With Tiger Woods out because of a neck strain, Rory McIlroy is the 7-1 favorite to win this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational in Florida. For the latest odds all the time, visit vsin.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
I would say as late as September, October, if you could just steal anyone's franchise situation heading for the next 5 to 10 years, who would you want to be? People would pick the Celtics. You have young assets. You've almost just made the finals without Kyrie and Hayward. Now they're coming back. You have all these draft picks. Man, everything is coming up roses. And then we get to last week with the Sloan Conference there. So you have just a ton of NBA people there. But the thing that shocked me, talking to just everybody, is everything is in play now for this summer, where before it's like, oh, they're going to get AD, really go for it. Or they might not get AD, but they're still in good shape. There's now a scenario where they're just rebooting this summer, where Kyrie leaves, Horford opts out, and we're just starting this over. It's 2015 again.
That's a scary thought, isn't it?
It's a nightmare.
Was there any one part of that quote that caught your attention?
Yeah. Horford leaves.
That's what caught my attention, too. Where did that come from?
It also caught my attention, the credibility part of it. I was in Boston at the Sloan thing, a lot of NBA people around. He follows it up with that comment.
Well, I think Bill Simmons is pretty tapped in. I mean,
he's Mr. Celtic.
I know that he's Mr. Fanboy Celtics and all that. He knows a lot of people in and around the game.
Yeah.
He does. Look at his podcast. Look at the guests that he
brings. And Russillo, too. And he and Russillo do this, post-football, too, where, you get zero in on the NBA stuff. But then to the point of being here, and Silver was here, and he spoke at it. And I'm not just going to come here and fly into Boston for the hell of it, just do that and get out. You're going to talk to your people.
You know who was on those panels? Wick Grosbeck, Steve Pagliuca, Mike Zarin, the assistant GM. There's a lot of guys on those panels.
What is Wick thinking right now? Like, he's got to be going nuts. Because you finally got to the point where you've talked about fireworks, fireworks, fireworks. You're finally getting some. You're convincing people to come to Boston. Horford took the first step. You got Kyrie. You're trying to get Anthony Davis. And you could just get left with nothing.
So what he's
left at the altar this summer
is a rebooted Celtics team that you're going back almost to square one.
No thanks. Nope. Not doing it.
Here's the scary part. None of it is really up to the Celtics in the situation he just described.
Well, this is the new NBA. Right. This is the new NBA.
Kyrie decides to leave. You can't control that.
Nope.
Al Horford opts out. You have no control over that.
He's had enough.
Marcus Morris, free agent. Goodbye. You don't control that.
Think about this, too. All the goodwill you've done to try and get them to become members of the Celtics in Boston and the facility you built. It was just a couple months ago where Kyrie's in that facility going, who wouldn't want this?
Here's the big picture thought, though, and why they might be in a worse place in 2019 than they were in 2015 or prior to Al Horford in the summer of 16. We always said the Celtics are not a destination. Celtics are not a place that guys want to go to. They've never attracted a big free agent. Well, now they've attracted both Al Horford. They attracted Gordon Hayward.
Cuckoo Bird.
Kyrie Irving is a superstar, bona fide superstar that they landed in a trade. And that one guy, Kyrie Irving, appears on the surface, at least to former NBA players such as Jalen Rose, to be miserable in Boston. Appears to be miserable.
So you could be stuck with Brown, Tatum, Smart, Cuckoo Bird, Baines, and just keep going. And then you are in, I don't want to say it's sort of rebuild mode. Because everybody else just got so much better and so much more star-laden. Like, again, I keep bringing up
$50 million in cap space by my estimations here.
Like, you think you're so close, yet you watch what Oklahoma City was. You had freaking Durant and Westbrook. And you got close and you blew it. And then KD said, F it. Can't beat him, join him. Go there, win it. I'm going to go do it somewhere else. This Knicks thing scares you. It really does.
Well,
because there's a spot where you could build another
that's
super.
That's not what scares me. Here's what scares me. Kyrie doesn't appear happy here.
Yep.
If Kyrie leaves,
what's that tell the rest of the NBA?
Undone everything that we thought the Celtics had sort of put together. And I'm talking about as a destination, as a place you want to go.
Yeah.
As a coach you want to play for, as a team you want to play for, in a building you want to play in a city you want to play, all of that stuff. Does that become undone? Is he a big enough star? And does he have enough influence in this league? If he has the influence that he believes he has, if that's true, if he is more right about his influence than we are,
yeah.
Does that influence other players to look at the Celtics and say, oh, hell, I'm not going there. First it was Isaiah leaving on bad terms. Now Kyrie got the hell out of there. I'm not going there.
Matter of 4 months, he got Jaylen Brown calling it a toxic situation.
Brown calls it toxic. Kyrie bolted. Al Horford opted out.
That's all worst case scenario.
That's not far reaching stuff. That's not exactly
that can't happen.
Earth shattering things and developments that happen in the next 6 months or less, really.
Like, what's Al Horford owe you? He's done nothing but get criticized here for pretty much showing up and just playing his game and doing what he does.
In 4 months,
and his sister attacking people.
If that happens, does that not only all of a sudden blow up the roster, but on top of it, destination? You're the furthest thing from it. That would hurt.
Well, you could get good young players and build through the draft and keep Tatum and Brown and have a team that will compete in a regular season. And I think Celtic fans like that. You can win the regular season. Get popped in round two, maybe get the round three, who knows. But you'll have a hell of a regular season. You have a team that plays defense. Maybe that's the type of...
It's not about the short term for me. It's not about the team next year. It's about how you're viewed for years to come.
Right.
That's what it's about. Because on the other side, it's not worst case scenario if you're left with Tatum and Brown. You've got some young talent there, not enough to win with.
Right? I think
not
Brad really would love it. Brad would love to coach that team.
Congratulations.
Oh, nice.
Great.
And you get everybody at the end of the game stand. Let's go Celtics. And you get that going for you. That's better than getting booed off the court, the other day. I think that's better
just
than
every
that.
Year be the little team that could.
Yeah, and everybody at the end, everybody could stand up. Yeah, nice job. Nice year. Yeah.
And then they can meet their expectations because their expectations will be so low.
You bring back Lucky. He can jump around. The leprechaun.
Do you think that's what ownership is angling for?
No.
Do you think that's what they want?
No, I think he's getting older and tired. We've been doing this. Let's go.
I wonder what Wick is thinking. It's just you know what I think about the money?
Yeah.
The money they're spending on this team. To get the results that they're getting right now.
Your most current $30 million player is meeting with a psychiatrist.
Infuriating. I'd be furious.
Your most current $30 million player is meeting with a mental coach, and they are superimposing the good of the past up against your current state.
Now, that guy would never let you know that he's feeling that way if he is. I mean, he's a class act. You're not going to come out and say, I'm pissed at the team.
No, but.
But I can imagine that's not a great spot.
Yes.
You've done everything. You've done everything right as an owner.
Yeah.
You've invested. You've paid the money.
Yep.
You try and put smart people in positions of power and to get the result right now on the floor. And it just.
You've given Danny Ainge full,
not meeting
you're
expectations.
Getting him full autonomy to do anything he wants to do. Like, Danny, you need to pull trigger, pull it.
And the Kyrie factor, I think, could be a major swing in how the Celtics are viewed. And it's not fair, number one. It just isn't. But it just could be reality.
Unless the rest of the league says, well, this guy's a little different. We're not going to trust him.
And I hope they do. I hope the rest of the league looks at Kyrie and says, oh, this guy's a bit of a quack. I'm not buying in on what he's saying. So you also have to ask, what would be worse? I mean, I don't think anyone looks at Al Horford that way, do they? Al Horford.
No, that would be interesting. Because Horford could just say, you know what? He could see the direction this is heading in. Like, I'm not going to let them use my contract as trade bait. I'm just going to opt out and get a new deal somewhere else where I want to go instead of being traded somewhere. Because they could use that final year, $30 million, in as their big contract to trade.
Yes, it could. To move money. If he wants more stability, he could opt out and pick a new town. Pick a new team. That could all happen. That is a worst case scenario type of thing, but I want to know what's the damage done. if Kyrie leaves, what kind of damage, what kind of lasting impact will that have?
What if what if you get to Kyrie time too, where, you know, postseason, and say they get super uber hot and they go on some deep run and a high Kyrie goes off. Is everybody going to be doing, yeah, Kyrie, we love you. Is that going to make him want to stay or leave? You see what I'm saying? Like, hey, it is all about me, because I've been telling you people it's about the postseason. It's not about regular season. I just carried your ass, you know, through three rounds. I know we didn't get it, but my time is done here.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Because media has just gotten just outrageous. You know what I mean? Like, I just saw some the other day where, you know, even, you know, it's just, he's the greatest player playing our game right now. But even seeing somebody question, like, Bron's body of work, like, my body of work, KD's body of work, and, you know, the team's success falls on the best player. And whether call it fair or unfair, but nobody should ever question what type of winner those guys are. You know what I mean? What type of winner I am, or whether or not I have the team in first mentality. You know, it's like nobody wants it to be solely about them, but we take most of the responsibility, and so does the head coach. So when you have that, and you have a relationship that you have to build with that, and I've been doing it, of being traded last year and just coming into this, it's a lot of new for our team.
Kyrie Irving yesterday, Celtics take on Golden State tonight. What do you expect will happen in this game tonight, by the way?
I think they're going to get smoked.
They get smoked, right?
Yeah. I think it's going to continue what we've been seeing.
Yeah.
I wonder how much the Paul Pierce stuff pissed him off and if he heard it. You're 1B. Because he brings up Bron, KD, and me.
Like they're all the same. They're all the same.
Here's Bron, KD, and me. Like the three amigos. Pierce called him what? A 1B? 1B?
I think he was being nice by calling him a 1B.
I do too. It's almost like he gauged him. Like, well.
Like he wanted to call him a 2.
He wanted to call him a 2.
Yes.
But you're a 1B.
If he wasn't sitting next to Chauncey Billups, he probably would have called him a 2.
Yeah, because then Billups, like, whoa. You know. Yeah. I'm with you on that, Jim.
Remarkable.
This is going to get good.
Absolutely remarkable.
You can't question it. You can't question his winnings, though.
How dare you? How dare you?
You can question all those guys.
There he is. Like,
for certain individuals. No, do you question whether or not they're winners?
Why do you listen to the media so much?
LeBron James
what are you
is a winner.
So zeroed
Kevin
in
Durant
on?
Is a winner.
You know, Kevin Durant's a winner when he joined the best team.
I mean, yeah, he hadn't won at all. He hadn't been the ultimate winner, but he was a winning player when he was in.
You know, when Brady's asked.
Did you ever have a question about whether or not Kevin Durant was holding back his team from winning? Ever. No, you never had that question.
See, there's two different things with Brady, too, because you'll hear this stuff, too, in press conferences. Brady will be asked sort of one of these same repetitive questions. He's like, you know, all I care about is winning. I don't hear all that
stuff.
Like
Carmelo Anthony, right? Carmelo Anthony, talented. Is he a winning player?
No,
not a winning player.
I'll tell you what. He's Sideshow Bob. If this thing's going down, let's add to the circus,
That's
man.
The most foolish thing I've heard. And if you want to jump on that, be my guest.
Oh, it'd be.
It's foolish.
You want to ignite a fire, boy. Oh. Throw some gas on that, baby. That'd be fun. Hey, if you're going down, go down, fight. Go down, fight. Bring them all in.
Foolish.
Bring in some nuts.
Absolutely.
You're bringing Rodman, too.
Ridiculous.
Activate him.
All right. So I hear everything that he is saying here, and I think he's delusional on some levels. He's not on the same level as LeBron
KD
James.
And me.
And Kyrie, you have not proven the things that those other players have proven. So Kyrie, has he won? Yeah, he has. He's won a championship. He's got a ring.
Yeah.
With LeBron. And I think that might be one of his biggest issues. He doesn't feel like he's got much to prove, does he? He thinks he's up there with Durant and LeBron, and that he's easily one of the best players in the NBA.
And he keeps talking about young guys.
And that he should never be questioned.
I mean, you're in your mid-20s. You're not 34. You're not Pierce at the end of your career. You're not Kevin Garnett at the end. You're not Ray Allen going from team to team being a sharpshooter at the age of 36. In your mid-20s, he's talking about these kids, you know, these young kids, man. It's like these teenagers you have. Like, yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I remember when I was a kid. Like, you are still a kid. My kid does that all the time. Remember when I was a little kid? You are a little kid. Not till you're 18, you're growing up and you get out of here. Bron, KD, and me. Like, that's post what Pierce said. That's almost like I heard what Pierce said.
one, two or one B. Braun, KD, me.
And by the way, if you've watched anything going on with LeBron James out in L.A. recently.
Yeah, I retweeted a couple stuff.
Oh, boy.
I love the one where he threw it against the backboard and was throwing it inbounds. There was a timeout where Walton's drawing up stuff and he's just walking around the scorer's table, totally disinterested.
Walking off the court, 7 seconds left in the
twice,
game.
Twice.
Rolling the ball across midcourt.
Now I'm being an a-hole.
And then
watch me be an a-hole.
Walking up with 30 seconds left on the clock in the half. Right? So what are you doing here, LeBron? What is the purpose of this? You're going to try and milk some clock here? He picks up the ball and immediately shoots a three that clangs off the iron.
Yeah, fadeaway three. With nobody in his face. Fadeaway three with nobody. Like, look at you, you fool. I'm not even going to defend you.
I'm barely going to try.
What am I supposed to jump on that ball?
Just out here as a goof. Just goofing around now.
They do that in AAU games, yeah. Without coaching.
But for what? I mean, like, he's supposed to be the closest thing to a player coach in the NBA right now. Tell me, what's the strategy behind what you just did there?
He's so telling you that it's his world, and I'm gonna mock
reinventing the game.
I'm gonna mock the game. No, I'm gonna mock the game.
Yeah, mocking the game is a better way of putting it.
It was team. Remember, don't forget, Hardy. It was Team LeBron at the All-Star game. It was his team. It's a hard sport to watch. It really is.
It's
hard to get into and like this.
It is hard to watch. It is hard to watch fledgling teams in the midseason, but no question, because the effort isn't there. The desire isn't there. I mean, in no sport can you see a better lack of interest from its players than you can from a bad midseason NBA team.
Jim played, it is
a pathetic product.
Jim played Kevin Durant coming back from break there, and he's talking about, the Celtics, and, oh, man, they got a lot of talent. Yeah, they're good. They're good. They're going to be all right. They're going to be all right when the playoffs start. They all think that. Like, they're all just biding their time till the playoffs start. All of them. I just think Golden State's a little better shape than you are right now.
No one has said that other than Kyrie, though.
Kevin Durant just doubled down on it.
No, I'm talking about this team.
Oh, I know.
On this team.
That's probably him talking to KD.
No one else.
If they go out and win tonight, are you going to feel that much different about this team?
No.
Neither am I.
It's going to take some sustained success to feel differently about them.
They've always gotten up for big games during a regular season, those single games, whether it was against Cleveland, whether it was against Golden State, whoever the hell else might be the flavor.
Because with anything with this team, it can be short-lived. That success could be short-lived. So we'll see. I'll feel better for a day. Doesn't mean I'm buying in on them.
You missed the Isaiah Thomas.
Do you think they're capable of getting to the finals right now? The way some people suggest they are?
No.
I don't even think they're close.
No. They'll be lucky to get to the second round.
How about this? Capable? Is the ability there? Is the
talent
there?
No doubt. Yes. It's not about a talent.
Capable? Yes. Will they?
As a team? As a group?
No.
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 No shot right now.
No.
They're going to need some dramatic changes. Again, this coming on the day when you've got Jaylen Brown on the Boston Globe today saying the situation there is toxic. That's not an anonymous quote. That's not an anonymous source. That's a player in that locker room that's putting his name to it in the newspaper. Toxic is the word he used.
I wonder if he could have a take back on that one word if he would change it. Did you really mean toxic?
That's an indictment.
Did
on your
you mean
own
it in the way that people think of toxic?
Yes, he's well thought out. He's a thoughtful guy.
Super thoughtful guy.
And he said it to one reporter, not the group. If he said it to the group, maybe he was slipped up. He said it to one guy, pull him aside.
Yeah, that's intentional then. Yeah.
Right? Between Marcus Morris going back a couple of weeks to Jaylen Brown today. I mean, come on. It's pretty obvious what's going on here. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dale is in Nashua today. Hi, Dale. Dale?
Hi, Dale.
Hey, you hear me?
Hi, Dale.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey. So, you know, you got the report, Jaylen Brown saying, you know, the locker room's toxic.
Yeah.
And then you got the Kevin O'Connor, the dude that works for the Ringer, put out that report last night saying Kyrie Irving's disinterested in the team and he's disengaged from his teammates. Now, I know the Boston Celtics Facebook page is obviously going to be a little bit biased, but, I mean, you go on there, you look at the story that they posted last night of those guys practicing.
Yeah.
Man, Kyrie Irving looks pretty happy with his with his teammates there.
Definitely it's funny. It popped on Twitter, too.
Joshing around.
Yeah. Celtics had that on their Twitter, too.
Yeah, I mean, that raises some questions to me. I'm like, so what's going on? But then Jaylen Brown comes out this morning saying it's toxic.
Well, I'm guessing he may have said it yesterday. I don't think he said it this morning. The story was published this morning. Marcus Morris, a couple weeks ago.
You start him or you start Morris tonight?
Long time. You'd start Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Do you think there's going to be a change?
No.
No.
Nope.
Why do that?
Veterans.
I thought Brad Stevens was. Is he with us tomorrow, by the way?
Yes. Scheduled. Yes. I have not. They usually email me ahead of time saying if he can't do it. So.
Start practicing those questions. I thought he was rather defensive. When he was sort of attacked the question a little bit.
So that move would have been made if it worked already.
He said, I like to be thoughtful. I don't do things just for the sake of doing them. To which I would say, I get that. Right now, I just do things for the sake of doing them.
But he also said, if I thought it would have helped, I would have done that already.
I would say get into a mode of experimentation. Yeah. See what happens.
Who's he sit with on a plane? You think he walks around? You think he talks to guys?
I'm sure he does.
Do you think they spread out like they're all... They got their clicks. I always wonder that.
I'm not familiar with what their plane situation is.
Because it's a long flight, right? And all this bleeps hitting the fan. You don't want to just get on and everybody put their headphones on. Just go sit there, stare straight. Yeah. And we're going to get to the hotel and we're all going to go to our rooms. Maybe air some stuff out on there. I don't know. One-on-ones with guys.
Go back. We should call Steve Kerr and let them players coach the game. You guys do it. No, you figure it out.
He's a tool bag, okay? Kerr. Mr. Smarty Pants.
Peter and JP. Hey, Peter.
Hey, I think it's a little bit time to cut Gordon Hayward a little slack, okay?
Oh, all right. Why is that?
Because we've been so hard on him. Yeah.
Okay. He is the point guard on the second unit. Nobody else can pass. Jaylen Brown is one of the best, statistically, one of the worst passers in the league. Okay? Terry Rozier can't pass. I mean, Daniel Theis, it's not his job to pass. So he's out there on an island. I mean, you know, he is the point guard, and he'll be standing at the three-point line, I swear to God, no within 20 feet of him, you know, waiting for a shot, and no one will pass it to him. And plus, I think he's the only hope we have going forward to do anything, because he's a max contract guy. Danny loves him. You know, I'd say he's 90% healthy right now. He made some fantastic moves in the last game, even though they were only a couple.
Sunday?
Okay. But he doesn't have any shots, guys. He's a point guard. You know, if he was making 10 shots a game, then where's Jaylen Brown going to be? Jaylen Brown's going to be taking three.
So
he's already pissed
off. If you guys think we've been tough on Gordon Hayward here?
I think we've been skated all year. I think he skated, and I think
Monday was the first day we attacked him ever. Not even really attacked him. Call like you see it. He looks afraid.
We have not been critical of him until this week, so it took us until March.
I was critical of him after the first game. I said he didn't look that good.
First game, being critical, but I think that's more observational than that. Where is he at?
The dude's leg was pointing the other way. He's going to need some time to get up and running, right? And we talked about this with Coach at the beginning of the year on our Wednesday things. Guys, it's going to ease into this. He's got to get his minutes.
I would just say that if that's the only issue is shots, then why is the team working with him to try and be more aggressive? Why is the mental coach trying to get him to go to the rim? Why is the mental coach trying to get him to be aggressive?
Cuckoo bird.
Why are they trying to do those things with him? Because they think everything's okay? Or because they believe he can do more?
Yeah.
Well, he believes he can do more, right? He says he watched a film in that article. He says he watched the film and he saw him.
Correct.
He saw how slow he was, and he was amazed at watching it on film, how slow he was compared to before. So he knows he can do more. It's just a matter of is it just the body not reacting? I don't know.
You can do it. Do you really need somebody at this next level telling you you can do it?
When you snap your leg, maybe you do. I don't know.
I guess. Maybe Charlie. He didn't snap his leg. It became dislocated and went back in.
Wait, what?
He didn't break his leg. Gordon Hayward didn't break his leg.
Ankle.
Broke his ankle.
Ankle. Yeah. It's not like Paul George, where your lower whatever fibula is pointing the other way.
Well, yeah, it's not as gruesome. It's not as disgusting. But
all right, I'm just checking here. I'm just trying to, keep up with everybody else. Okay. And we even at the end of last year, when everybody's, he's coming back for the play. He's going to be there for the finals. We're like, no, he's not. The dude's leg went the other way. We have been nothing but cautious with Gordon Hayward. We have. And now people want to take it easy on him. Like, you need him now. He needs some production. If he's going to take the time he has, and if he's going to take up the minutes and keep guys like Jaylen Brown or others off the court.
Yeah, so he did break his tibia at a lower point than what Paul George did, but it's the same freaking bone, and it was a clean break. Does it matter where it happened on the leg?
I don't know, Dr. Bertrand.
It's a horrible injury.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a sprain. I said he's going to need a bridge here, sort of. I've said that. But if you're going to keep rolling him out there with those type of minutes, and he's going to look as bad as he did on Sunday, where he doesn't contribute anything, like you're wasting your team's time. I'd sit him down.
Joe in the truck. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Joe.
My theory is, for years, all we've ever wanted was a superstar to come to the Celtics. We finally got a superstar, and it sounds like everybody wants to drive the guy out of town.
Oh, no, I want Kyrie to stay. I want him to stay.
You.
Yeah.
I hear you.
You need him, bud.
Here's another theory. Okay, everybody's saying that we win all these games without Kyrie, and we're gonna need him on the court. So, okay, the Bruins, right? They're on a streak without Paston.
Bingo.
Huh?
What are you saying? Yeah, hey, look at the Bruins. They're rolling here, and they don't even have Pasternak, one of their high-end scorers. We'll see who sits when he comes back. That's a nice little shot in the arm. You need Kyrie Irving. I'm sorry. I still think you do. To eventually get to where you
want
to be.
There are people that want to be. There are fans that don't want him here, though. There are fans that believe they'd be better off without him.
Yeah, the Jim Louse. The regular season fans. The tough teams.
Good regular
season grinders.
Guys.
The teams that dive on the court.
On that podcast, Russillo said the same thing. He said, it might be a blessing in disguise if this happens.
Oh, no.
He's just not a leader.
No, maybe no.
He wants to be a leader, and he's not a leader, and that's going to affect him while he's here.
But is Russillo factoring in the damage it could do in terms of future acquisitions? I don't think he's weighing that.
I think he's weighing the young guys on the team right now.
Young guys
going forward.
X's and O's.
It's a long delayed blessing in disguise.
Long delayed. Yeah.
I want you to go here. We're going to run a picking. We're going to
the blessing.
I don't think it's a coincidence. By the way, I said this a couple weeks ago, and you laughed, but. I don't think it's a coincidence all this stuff's popping up after the trade deadline. When everything was in his court. The Celtics lost any leverage they had at the trade deadline if they wanted to make a move or do something to get something out of his contract.
So you're saying the timing of when all this stuff started to break, like around the Super Bowl, was when all this stuff dropped, right? The Kyrie stuff.
Yeah.
It's almost like it was staged and planted.
Yeah, I guess it was a little before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
It was a week before the trade deadline. But still, the ball's in his court after the trade deadline. It's all his. He's got all the leverage.
Well, leverage
like
for what, though? He doesn't need leverage. The year ends, he can go anywhere he wants.
Well, it's Bron KD.
What's
and
he
got
leverage for?
Well, Bron KD.
He wants to stay here the rest of the year and then go wherever he wants to. He led them on all the way leading up to the trade deadline, and then all of a sudden pulled it back.
And now I don't know anybody else.
If he had said this in October, there's a possibility he might have been traded.
And he just didn't want to get traded? So he duped them. He's not leveraging them now. He already did.
Oh, maybe he did it back in the summer. Yeah,
that'd be a really bad guy then. Wow.
So he faked all of that? He faked the interest in the Celtics? He faked that he wanted to be here long term?
He got caught up in FanFest.
So that he wouldn't be traded somewhere else?
I don't know.
For a year?
I don't know. He's got the leverage now. Or that swung after trade deadline.
What's he and Jason Tatum know?
No matter what happened to him, though, he was going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, he just might have had to play somewhere he didn't want to play.
But if he wants to play here, why wouldn't he want to stay here? Like, I don't get it. I don't think those two things align. He really wanted to stay in Boston for this year, but really didn't want to be there next year.
I don't know. What if he gets shipped to a team that's not as in the public spotlight, that he can't monetize? He's monetizing while he's
Wouldn't
here.
Wouldn't be good for the Uncle Drew, box office returns.
And he has a good shot sequel. To make a monster playoff run with this team, so, with this talent. If they play it right, he's got a chance to make that monster run and really make the money.
He can't simultaneously talk about hating being in front of a camera while wearing his Uncle Drew hat yesterday. He can't do that all.
Hold on, get my
with
hat.
A real audience.
Hold on, get my hat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.